अत्र सर्वविसर्गस्य स्थानम् मेंटेनेंस ऑफ द यूनिवर्स एंड देन नरिशमेंट द इंपेटस फॉर एक्टिविटीज द मन्वंतर द डायनेस्टीज विद इन द डिफरेंट टाइम्स ऑफ मनु एंड ईशानु कथा डिस्कशन ऑफ कृष्णा द सुप्रीम कंट्रोलर then winding up of the creation, that's all described this, here in this chapter, that's described in synopsis, how the everything is ultimately destroyed also, then getting liberation from this situation, and then the ultimate category, Ashraya, everything is in relationship with Krishna, who is the shelter of everything. Ishanu Kata. Even there's a description of the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Controller, but ultimately we have to understand Him not only as the Controller, but as the shelter of everything. So when we're reading these divisions of the creation, how there are different plants and different species and different levels of consciousness, and the scientists are also studying, even the Brahmavadis are also studying. But we have to remember this is all in relationship with Krishna. What is the message here? Hear the message, just like it's described in the purport, how the lowest species of life it's describing, quoting from the Upanishads, how miserable it is to be born in such a situation, that we have all been through this. We shouldn't think, I am a human, these are the plants. I am a human, these are the dogs. If you see the dog, sometimes you see very miserable. They're covered with, their skin is all diseased and all the hair has fallen off. And the blood is coming out of the backside and the intestines seem to be coming out. You've seen it. If you live in India, you see all these things. If you see in the West, they would, you know, be on the front page of the Daily Mirror, how someone's mistreating their dog. That's the kind of thing they put on the front page of the tabloids. Someone is beating kids. I saw once, how they have a front page story of how in Japan they're killing dogs by beating them to death. It was considered a great disgrace. So, you see, suffering miserably. When you see that, what should you think? Well, we should think, there's a spirit soul. Chant Hare Krishna. You should also think, that was me. I was also in this situation. And, if I'm not careful, I'll also be again in that situation. We've all suffered so much. And when you see a rich man going in his car, driving very nicely, everyone is respecting, what should you think? It's like when you see the dog, you think, Krishna saved me from that situation. When you see the rich man driving in his car, you should also think, Krishna saved me from that situation. That's also miserable. How he's bound up by lust and greed and false prestige. How he's driving along and thinking, I'm so wonderful and so great, in so much illusion, simply preparing himself to become a dog in his next life. You can also ask him for a donation and give him a book. That you can't do with a dog. You can give him prasadam. So this whole shastra, this is for teaching us to see reality. The jnanis, they see reality, but they don't see the ultimate reality. They see, what is the situation of this material world? It is miserable. We're going through so many different species of life. It is miserable. Therefore, we should come to mukti. But they don't come to ashraya. They don't take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, because they don't take shelter of Krishna, therefore they remain anashrita, anatha. That word we have, anath, means an orphan. So everyone in this material world is anath. Devotee is sanath. He has his master. So when we're reading all this, we shouldn't think that this is just some scientific description. And always have to remember, it's all in relationship with Krishna. Defining our situation. Our situation in the material world is miserable, We should take shelter of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question about this?
Do you think all the devotees were staying in this
room? Do I think? Not a very good question. Anyway.
Then go back to God.
Do I think? Well, we have to think through the eyes of Shastra. Yes, we should think. But our thinking process should be on the matrix of Shastric knowledge. That is the defect of modern intellectual endeavors. They have no fixed basis of knowledge. And therefore they ask, do you think? What do you think? What is your opinion? You think a little, I'll take a little from that and I'll mix it up with what so many other people thought. I'll give my own angle and this way we come to some kind of a conclusion. But there's no fixed basis of knowledge. So will everyone in ISKCON go back to Godhead? Possibly. But they have to become pure devotees. It's not simply by living in a particular ashram and wearing an ISKCON t-shirt that you go back to Godhead. Not like that. I was just reading this morning, actually. Prabhupada was lecturing, and he was saying that, I believe he was lecturing in America, and he was saying that don't take Krishna consciousness as a profession like they do in India. They simply live in the temple, they do a little puja, and they get their means of sustenance. Prabhupada said, you have to preach. You have to perform welfare activities for others. So if we're living in ISKCON as a means of sustenance, that it's a good job. You see, you get all your maintenance, you do a little puja, cleaning, whatever your service is, and that's it. Then you get your food and your clothing and your shelter and money, and that's it. In ISKCON in India, the word preacher means someone who goes out and collects money. That's not preaching. Of course, if the money is used in Krishna's service, if it's all clearly focused on the aim of bringing people back to Godhead, then it falls within the category of preaching. But if we're thinking that, yeah, I got a donation from this person, I get so much percent, and I'm saving up to get my daughter married, that's not Krishna consciousness. You won't go back to Godhead by such a way. One has to become a pure devotee.
So many jnana details about outside of Krishna Gada, Isan Gada is also put in Srimad Bhagavatam. Just the description about Atman and different position of the different planets and everything. So what's the idea of putting all these things in Srimad
Bhagavatam? Well, that I explained, that all these things, the description of the atom, the description of different species of life, that's all in the Bhagavatam. It is Ishanukata. That's the difference between the Jnani and the Bhakta. That the Jnani sees these things, he hears these things, rather, and he sees the situation of the material world and he understands I have to come out of it, but he doesn't see it in relationship with Krishna. That's why the Srimad Bhagavatam, every verse is so much purifying to read it, because we have to, it's all in relationship with Krishna. It's all described in relationship with Krishna. The same topics of the miserable nature of the material world are described in the Jnanakanda section of the Upanishads, but they don't clearly delineate the relationship of the soul with Krishna. Actually, it's also there, but in most of the Upanishads, they don't directly say Krishna. They'll say Paresha, the Supreme Controller, Mahesh, or they'll say words like this. But Tamishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram, those terms are there in the Upanishads. But with the exception of a few Upanishads, they don't directly delineate Krishna as the Supreme Absolute Truth. Whereas the Bhagavatam does. So that's the point. It is all in relationship with Krishna.
By reading these things, we don't understand how Krishna is related to something.
Well, we have to understand everything in relationship with Krishna. Krishna, Prabhupada used to explain, is just like a king. You can't understand. If you want to know about the king, you have to hear about his kingdom. How great is the king? We could say there is the emperor of all of India. He is a king. And there was the king of Junagadh. That was also one kingdom previously. They wanted to join Pakistan at the time of partition. So that's also a kingdom. But if you say the king of Junagadh and the king of India, well, unless you know what Junagadh is and what India is, you might think, well, they're just the same, equal. So if we understand that, well, India is a vast country, and Junagadh is just a small district within that country, then you can understand the difference. So by describing the material creation and how Krishna is involved and not involved, we can begin to understand something of Krishna's greatness. Actually, Krishna's greatness is not really in how he's involved in this material world, or not involved. That in Christianity, they put so much emphasis, he is the creator. But that is not his greatest glory. It's just like, if you're a cockroach living in the toilet in some big mansion, the cockroaches may be discussing, you know, this architect. He built this toilet. Oh, really? What a fantastic person. He built this toilet. You don't understand the architect. He built a whole big building, but because your vision is only of the toilet, you see, you can't see beyond that. So in Christianity, they say the creator of the world. This material world is just, it's the outhouse. That God has created this world is not his greatest glory, but for us in our present situation, because we don't see beyond this, therefore we first of all understand the greatness of God in relationship with this cosmic manifestation. That is called Shaka Chandra Nyaya. The first, just like the child, the mother wants to show, where is the moon? You see this tree in the courtyard, you see the tree every day. You know what the tree is. You see in between the branches, there's that yellow ball, that's the moon. So in the same way, first we draw the attention is drawn to something we can understand. And then, it's something which is in relationship to that, or can be perceived in relationship with that. Then we can draw our attention to something else which is more deep, more distant. So this knowledge of the material world is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam to draw our attention to Krishna. If immediately we're told about the spiritual world and Krishna's attitude, it wouldn't really mean much to us. So Krishna is going with the cows in Vrindavan, so what? There's so many people going with cows. What's the big thing? But then when we understand, oh, Krishna is the superintendent of the whole material cosmos. Oh, really? He's so great. And then we hear he's tending his cows. Oh, he's tending his cows, but he's not an ordinary Gopal. So like this, knowledge of the material world is given in relationship with Krishna. Not that it's his greatest glory, but that we need to hear that so that from our perspective we can understand the greatness of Krishna. To highly advanced devotees, that Krishna is the maintainer of the material world, they're not even very interested. It doesn't mean much to them. But that's a very high level which one cannot come to without going through the necessary levels.
Intellectual is more important than enjoys better facilities.
You're saying that an intellectual enjoys better, in the Vanashram system, an intellectual enjoys better facilities than a Shudra. An intellectual is a Brahmana, he's not just an intellectual. That again I was reading this morning. That, Prabhupada said the intellectual, a big, big professor, they're the intellectuals, and they're eating meat. He said that in Vedic society, an intellectual means a Brahmana. There's no question of him eating meat. With his intellectual development, alongside there must be character development. So Brahmana gets more facilities. Well, in some respect, he's respected by others. He doesn't have to perform manual labor, but he has to work. It's not that he doesn't work, but he works with his mind rather than his body. But facilities, well, a Brahmana he'll generally not accept any comfort. Austerity is the wealth of the Brahmanas. They would deliberately accept poverty, even though people are willing to give them. But a Brahmana, he's considered more advanced, the more he lives an austere life and doesn't accept comforts. He's given more respect, yes. On what basis? Brahmana, Kshatriya, just like Golok Vrindavan, Madhu Mangal is there. There are not many Brahmins in Vrindavan. Madhu Mangal, he's there, but he's a buffoon. He's a joker. They joke about his. He himself jokes about being a Brahmana. Feed the Brahmana. You've been reading all these things recently. So in the Brahmanas are there, the priests, they come and they perform ceremonies for Krishna. It's all centered on Krishna. Love is more important than respect in Goloka. In Dwarka, also. Yes, in the spiritual world, love is a more important principle. In this material world, there is no love. So respect has to come first. When there's love, there may be even disrespect. And it's again a very high platform. But the love is not compromised by that. In this material world, there's so much envy. So Vanashram teaches respect, respect, respect. And that will help us to clear the envy from our hearts. And then the question of love arises. Actually, we're not, hardly. I don't see any Varnashram system. We should be.
Writing that even the Gregastha duty, he is working outside, and he is giving the Iskans should be considered as a sannyasi. So in one sense, we have to consider everybody, irrespective of all the Varna and Atma, the devotees are designed equal level also.
Yeah, well, there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Nicha Jati Nahi Krishna Bhajanaya Yogya, Shatku Brahman, Shatku Vipra Nahi Bhajanaya Yogya, Jai Bhajai Shai Bhava Abhakta Hina Cha, Krishna Bhajanaya Nahi Jatku Ladi Picha. He said that low birth is not a disqualification for serving Krishna, and high birth is not a qualification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one is judged according to, one is accepted within Vaishnav society or considered great according to his level of devotion. Because in devotional service, there's no consideration of one's birth status or any such thing. So that is the devotional platform. But social considerations are also not, they're not totally discarded. We'll see that even within Vaishnav society at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, that at least some formal respect will be given more to Brahmins. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would call Haridas Thakur, who from the social point of view was an outcast, he would call him, you come and eat with us, and he would say, no, I can't. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't force it. That you must come and eat with us. So daily, Haridas, Sanatan, and Rup, Goswamis, who are the most respected by the Vaishnavas, but they would maintain the social etiquette that they won't eat together. Prabhupada noted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so influential in Puri that he could have brought Haridas Thakur into the Puri temple, Jagannath temple, but he didn't do so. He didn't want to. He flouted social conventions, but only as much as was required. He didn't want to make a major disturbance in society. Well, Haridas Thakur could chant Hare Krishna. That was all right. No one stopping him from doing that. We also, you see, if some respectable gentleman comes, Prabhupada would refer to his intellectuals and different leaders of society would be brought to meet Prabhupada often in the Western countries, and Prabhupada would refer to them as respectable gentlemen, even though individually he would refer to them like that, although when speaking of them generically, he'd call them dogs and cats. But he also recognizes it. There's a difference between university professors, you can discuss with them philosophy, and not very educated people. You would know it. You would probably see the difference. Once in Delhi, Prabhupada was asked, but why so many blacks don't join your movement? And Prabhupada said, they're not so much cultured. Of course, if you say that, then people will become upset. Actually, it's a fact. As Ronald Reagan said, no one's crossing. There's no law that blacks have to live in Harlem and what's the other place? Watts. These are the two black slum areas, in one in New York and one in Los Angeles. There's no one's crossing them to live like that. They naturally come together like that. So in any respect, if there's some educated person, highly positioned, speak to them, discuss philosophy with them, deal with people, except that they have some kind of culture at some level. In Germany, Prabhupada was once discussing, there were some philosophers, a group of women, and Prabhupada was speaking to them. And you know, they just couldn't understand what Prabhupada was saying. They're just stupid. Prabhupada, he turned to the devotees who had arranged the meeting. In the presence of these professors, he said, these people are supposed to be philosophers. he wasn't very impressed with them. These people are supposed to be philosophers. Okay, we're finished. Srimad Bhagavatam.